All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Chof Hey. And so we're going to start on the bottom of Kuf Chof Dalit Amud Beis. So we left off Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Five lines up from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Chazya, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Megufas Chavis. Megufas Chavis is the lid of a barrel. Shenich Sisa. That ultimately was broken. Mutlo Talatul B'Shabbos. You can go ahead and carry it on Shabbos. Tiny Nami Hachi. So I'll say the logic behind this would seem to be, look at Rashi, Megufa Shal Chavis Shnichsa HaChavis. The barrel was broken, the lid was broken. The idea would be, following up on our conversation from yesterday, we're talking about a case where the shard itself was usable, still in some type of functional capacity. Tiny Nami Hachi, a brace that supports this, Megufa Shnichsa. If you have this lid that was broken, Hi Ushevareha Motul Talkul B'Shabbos. It and its pieces were mutter to be moved on Shabbos. However, velo yispos mimenu shever lechasos bo asakli velismoch bo kari hamita. But a person should not go ahead and repair the shard in order to go ahead and make it into a cover, to cover a utensil, or to support the legs of the bed. The imzark said, the idea is that he's talking about on Shabbos, you can't repair the shard to make it something greater than it is. The imzarka ba'ashpa, if you threw the shard into the garbage, usser, then again, the shard is usser. The idea seems to be that by throwing it into the garbage, a person demonstrates the fact that the shard is not significant. And once I do that, it becomes mukta. Maskif l'rat papa. So papa raised a contradiction. Elame ato, if that's the case, meaning of what's the case, if the idea is that if you throw something into the garbage heap, then by definition it becomes mukta. Then zarkli l'glimei hachanami da'asar. Would that mean if you were to go ahead and throw your glima, right? You were to take your cloak and you were to throw it into the garbage heap on Shabbos. Would it then become mukta? Would it then become mukta? Now, Rav Papa sees this as totally untenable, because at the end of the day, just because I threw it in the garbage heap doesn't take away from the fact that what? That the glima is still a glima. So too, if the shard is usable, the fact that I throw it into the garbage heap should in no way render the shever, the shard, into something totally mukta. Ela amar Rav Papa, therefore Rav Papa says, top of Kuf Chof Hey, im zarka mi ba'od yom la'ashpa asura. What's the case? The case is where I threw it into the garbage on Erev Shabbos. Throwing it into the garbage on Erev Shabbos makes a demonstrative statement that in your eyes, this item is no longer a bona fide kli, and therefore, halacha l'maaseh, it is considered to be mukta on Shabbos. Amar Rav Hamduri Amar Shmuel. So Rav Hamduri said the name of Shmuel. Kromis shel machatzelas. Kromis shel machatzelas is shreds of reeds from a mat. So let's say you have a reed mat, and you have some of the reeds that become detached from the mat. That's called Kromish Shalkana, Kromish Shalachatzelis. Mutzal Tatlan B'Shabbos. You can carry the splintered reeds on Shabbos. My time, what's the reason? Amarava Barhamduri Asavrali. Barhamduri explained this to me. Machatzelis Gufala Maichazya, what is the mat itself used for? Lichasuye Be'afra. The mat itself is used to cover dirt. And I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Lechasos ba'afro. Omeid lechasos ba'tzoa. Ina mishlo ya'ale ha'ava. So Rashi is one of two possibilities. If the mat itself is used to cover dirt, dirt in this case either a euphemism for waste, or ultimately any kind of shmutz. Or other possibility is that what? It was used to keep the dust of the ground settled. The point is, it's used to cover something. That's the idea. Hachinami. Haninami, therefore these splintered reeds as well, chazyan lekasuye betinoves. They're also usable to go ahead and cover up some dirt. So the idea is that since the splintered reeds essentially have the ability to serve in the same fashion as the mat, therefore halacha l'maaseh, the splintered reeds are not mukta as well. Amarav zera amarav, shiri peruzomios. The leftover piece of peruzomios, Rashi says over here, are talisos. So shiari peruzomios means leftover pieces of talis. A piece of talis, the halacha is, asur talpulon b'shabbos. You may not carry them on Shabbos, because the Pashat Gemara is saying that it's mukta. Amar Abaye qualifies the statement, because what are we talking about? B'matlonios she'en bahen gimel al gimel. With, remember, we saw this almost extensively before, matlonios are pieces of rag, that do not have a shear of 3x3, the lo chazion, lo la'anim, v'lo la'ashirim. because such a small piece of fabric that doesn't even have a shear of three finger breadths, is, remember, not usable either, of course, for the rich, but it's not even usable for the poor. Because it's totally unusable, therefore, by definition, it becomes motzah. Tan Rabbanan, Shivrei Tanur Yashan, Harihen Kechol HaKelim, Hanitalin B'chatzim. So we'll say it's an interesting case. If you have broken shards of an old oven. Now, what does that mean, an old oven? Look at Rashi. Tanur Yashan, Shekvar Hosak, it was already fired up, V'charosav kashim, and therefore its earthenware is hardened. V'chazur l'malacha. So we'll say, just so you should understand, the oven that they're talking about is a little bit different than what we normally conceptually view as an oven. The oven was an earthenware, or sometimes metallic, but here is referring to earthenware, cylinder. Like a big pot, like a very tall pot, without a bottom. And what they would do is, we'll see in just a little bit, they would go and they would light a fire on the bottom of the, usually it's set on the ground, so they light a fire on the ground, and then what they would do is, they would put pots on top. So if you could imagine, the pots, the oven itself, so it was always made a little bit smaller than the pot, so a pot would sit on top of the oven. So it's not really like a stove, because the stove, the pot always sits on top. It's not fully like our ovens, because the only thing about our ovens, the item is fully enclosed in the oven. Here, most of the items sit inside of the oven, but there is a top that's exposed. That being said, there were different types of Talmudic ovens as well. Some of them resembled more like our oven, where an abedit was inserted totally into it. But that's just referring to over here. So when it says an old oven, it means an oven that was already used. The reason why that's important is because if it was made from, if you had an earthenware oven, so the first time you used it, it wasn't a full-fledged kli. The reason for that is because the earthenware only hardens once it's fired up again. So that, for example, that's a Tanur Chadash. So Tanur Yashan means it's already been fired up. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Shivrei Tanur Yashan, if you have the broken pieces of an old oven. Okay, so the oven broke, you have pieces of it. Harihen Kechal HaKelim HaNitalan B'chad, the Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir holds that these are like any utensils that can be carried within a chatzar. The shards have the status of a utensil, therefore can be carried in a chatzar. We'll define what that means later on. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein nitalin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they're muktzah. Heyed Rabbi Yossi Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yossi testified about this matter in the name of Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. Al Shivrei Tanur Yashan, about the broken pieces of an old oven, Shenitalin b'Shabbos, that in fact they can be carried on Shabbos. Va'al Kisuyav, and about its cover, She'eino Tzarech Beis Yad, that it does not require a handle in order to carry it on Shabbos. Now we'll say, that's going to be our two Mishnayos from now. So we're going to discuss that case separately about carrying the cover without a handle. So right now we're just going to read the words, we're not going to explain it. The Ma'akam Mifligi, what are they arguing about? So we'll say we have this fundamental machlokis over here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Meir holds that you can carry the shards of the broken oven. Rabbi Huda says you cannot. So Amra Abaye, Ba'osin Ne'im Melocha, Ve'in osin me'in malachton kamiflagi. So Abai wants to suggest that the machlokis, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, is what happens if you have the shard of a utensil, but the shard is usable, has a function, but what? Cannot perform the original function of the kli it was a part of. What we call osin me'in malacha, it can still do something productive. Ve'in osin me'in malachton, but it cannot do the work of the kli of which it was originally a part of. So for example, you had an oven, the oven breaks, you have shards. The shards are usable. What could they be usable for? They could cover a kli, right? They can go ahead and be a receptacle, but they can't be an oven. So the shayla then is, do the shards become muktzah or not? So Rabbi Meir holds no. According to Abaye, according to Rabbi Meir, all you need is for the shard to be usable in some capacity, even if it's not usable the same way it was before. Halacha says it's still not mukta. Rabbi Yehuda says in order for a shard to not be mukta, it has to be usable in the way, in the same manner that it was usable when it was part of the original kli. So the Gemara says, "Va'az Rabbi Yehuda tamei, Rabbi Meir tamei," and Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his reasoning, as does Rabbi Meir. Maskif la Rava. So Rava raises a contradiction. If that's the case, ihachi. At the miflegi b'shivrei tanur, liflegu b'shivrei kelim ba'alma. So Rabbi says, if that's the case, then why does the machlokes have to be framed with the shards of an oven? Right? Why do you have to bring up a case of an oven? Keep it simple and just deal with Shivrei Kalim. Because the machlokes is the same machlokes. You have shards of a utensil. So Rabbi Meir holds, as long as the shard is usable, period, it's not mukta. Rabbi Huda says, no, it has to be usable in the same capacity as the kli it was originally a part of. Why do you have to bring in tanur? Ela Amar Rava, therefore Rava says, no. This is a different machlokes. Ela Amar Rava, b'shivrei dahai tanur kamiflegi. Their machlokes centers around the shards of this oven. What's this oven? This, now listen to this case. Nosnu al piabor, al piadus. The nasan sham evan. Supposed to listen to this case. You have your oven. Now remember what I said before. This, what we call this oven, is really just a cylinder. This is hollow cylinder. So what do? In this case over here, you place the oven over a pit, over an indentation on the ground, and what you're going to end up doing is you're going to light the fire in the pit. That's what you're going to do. You're going to light the fire in the pit, and the oven is going to sit right next to that. Rashi points out that this was common, and what people would do is they would cement the oven onto the ground in the area right over the pit, to solidify it over the pit. Now again, in this particular case, so the oven does not fit directly into the hole of the pit, so what do? You wedge it with a stone. You wedge it to the stone. So that's again, nasnu al pi abor al pi adus. Adus is a cistern. So it's the same idea, just a cistern is above ground versus a bar is below ground. But same basic idea. You are positioning the oven over some type of opening in the ground or on top of the ground. Vinasan sham evan, you place a stone there. The stone is there to wedge the oven into place. Rabbi Huda says the following. Imasik milamato, vunisuk milamalo, tame. Rabbi Huda holds, if you could fire up the oven in the pit, and it's effective to allow cooking to go ahead, to heat the heat to rise, then the object is tummy. Now, what does that mean, it's tummy? It means it's mekabel tumah. It's meaning it's a kli. It's a utensil. Ve'im lav, but if not, tahor. Then ultimately, the item is not considered to be, the item is not considered to be a utensil. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rabbi Huda Omer, im dafnos of lemalo krovim udof ne'abor shlo hutrach loses bein sayim ela even dako ve'in avir nikar bein dof ne'atan al dof ne'abor shi'akiv es hesek tanor elo yo ilo lo dof ne'abor lahachzik es chomo v'shulav krovim mushulei habor. So what Rabbi Huda says is like this, is that halacha lemaisa, if the oven fits directly into the pit and all you need is a very thin stone in order to wedge it there, then Rabbi Huda holds that's considered to be attached to the board, considered to be attached to the ground, and therefore it's considered to be a kli. We'll discuss Rabbi Huda's logic in just a little bit. And therefore, halacha lemaisa it's mekabel tumah. Ve'im lav, and if not, then halacha lemaisa it's tar. Look at Rashi. Ve'im lav, ela nasa ki she'ar tanur mitocha, tar, ki demavarish time de ba'inan mechusri netitza. So however, if it's not wedged to the ground, if it's not attached to the ground, then halacha lemaisa, the oven is not considered to be a kli that's mekabel tumah. Again, we'll discuss Rabbi Huda's logic in just a little bit. The Chachamim say, Hoil behusak mikomakom tame. The Chachamim say, once that oven is fired up, then by definition it's a kli and it's mekabel tumah. Ubimai kamiflegi, what are Rabbi Huda and Chacham arguing about? Bahaikra, in this pasuk, what does the pasuk say? Tanor vikirayim yutatz, tameim heim utameim yulochem. Literally, the tanor and kirayim, the oven and the stove, yutatz, shall be destroyed. Tameim heim, they are tamei, tameim yulochem, they will be tameim. They will say over here, the Gemara is talking about tumas sheretz. We've seen the Torah about tumas sheretz. That if you have a dead rodent, it falls into the airspace of the oven is considered like a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel, so the oven becomes tummy. Remember, when it comes to a kli cheres, you cannot kasher an earthenware utensil, you just simply have to smash it. Now, what's interesting is the choice of words of yutatz. Yutatz, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi says over here the following, Tmeim yulachan, the kafel bekra ribuye, sha'af api shumutukan kol tzarko. So we'll say, so let's read Rashi. Rabbi Huda says, "Mechusar nesitza tame, she'ein mechusar netitza tahor." Rabbi Huda holds, if it is lacking netitza. Netitza means what's good English word for this is naturally crushing, smashing. What are they called?
Demolishing.
Okay, smashing, demolishing. Right? If it's lacking demolition, if it's lacking smashing, then it's tame. If it's not lacking smashing, then it's tahar. Now, what does that mean? The way Rabbi Yehuda defines mechusar nesitza, that is lacking smashing, is it's attached to the ground. If it's attached to the ground, says Rabbi Yehuda, that's called mechusar nesitza, that's called lacking smashing, lacking demolition. If it's not attached to the ground, Rabbi Yehuda defines that as natutz. He defines it as demolished. Now again, Abbas, the nafkamina between that is, when the object is not considered to be demolished, then it's a kli, then it's mekabel tumah. Once it is considered to be demolished, it's no longer a kli, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. Therefore, in Rabbi Yehuda's model, if the tanur is affixed to the ground, if it's really anchored to the ground, then that's called mechusar netitza. It is not smashed, and if it's not smashed, it's mekabel tumah. If it's not firmly attached to the ground, that's called natutz, that or ino mechusar netitza. It's not lacking smashing or demolition, i.e. it's demolished, and therefore it's tar because it's not a kli. But Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan on the other hand hold, Taneim Yulach HaMikomako, it's Tane. It doesn't matter, the oven doesn't have to be attached to the ground in order for it to be a kli to become Tane. Rather, as long as the oven is an oven, by definition, that makes it subject to laws of Tumah. But Rabbanan, Nami Haksiv Yutatz, I bet the Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan do with the word Yutatz? Hahu Le'idach Gisa. They hold that Rashi teaches you the exact opposite thing. Look at Rashi. Hahu le'idach disa. Hayutatz lav le'egmure kula asa. Ulelemer de'chileka de'ileka keyume. De'ileka le'keyume be'netitza kigonzeh. Shin abana u'mechubra melehu natutz lavitar. The other time they cry. Utvei mulacham d'rabuye ele la'egmure chumra asa. De'lotema kala tenurim ha'asuin kilchas mechubam la'arz. Hari kishar batim. So I was like, the Chacham say Yutatz comes to teach you something totally different. Why Rabbi say? There's an interesting halach in Hilchos Tumah Tahara, which is that an object that is attached to the ground is normally not mekabel tumah. Not mekabel tumah. The Rabbana come along and say that the pasuk comes to teach you a novelty by tanur. That tanur, even though it's attached to the ground, is what? Is still mekabel tumah. In fact, it's always mekabel tumah until the point of what? Until the point of Yutatz. Until the point ultimately where it be demolished. So according to the Rabbanan, Yutatz doesn't come to teach you a limiting factor, just the opposite. Yutatz comes to teach you an expansive idea that's only in existence by Tanur, that even if it's attached to the ground, it's Xeras HaKosov, that it's still Mekabel Tumah. The Rabbanan, I'm sorry, Ulida Rabbanan, sorry, Tmei Milacham, Merit Mikomakom, Rabbanan Amik Sivutatz, Holy Tekisa, the Sakadai Tchamina, I might have thought, that since the oven is attached to the ground, it should be just like the ground, and therefore not mekabel tumah. Kamashmulan, that's not the case. The idach and I the rabbanon, the idach nami haksev tameim yulachem. I, what did the rabbanon do with the fact that it says tameim yulachem? Ahi kederav Yehuda Amr Shmuel. Damrav Yehuda Amr Shmuel machlokes behesek rishon. The machlokes only applies the first time the oven is being used. Aval behesek sheni. But once the oven has already been fired up, once now it's being used for a second time, then we'll say, what does that mean? Remember, like we said before, once an oven is used the first time, then halacha lemaisa is considered to be a full-fledged kli. The first time it's used, it's not a full-fledged kli, because the walls have not yet been hardened by the fire that's going to be burned inside of it. After that first time, it's a full-fledged kli, in which case, afilu talui bitsavar gamo, literally translated, even if the oven is hanging on the neck of a camel, which is just another way of saying that even if it's not attached to the ground, at that point in time, it would still be mekabel tumah. Amr Ula, Ula says, v'hesek rishon l'rabbanon afilu taloi bitzavar gamo. Ula says, but according to the Rabbanon, the truth is, even the first time you use the oven need not be attached to the ground in order to be mekabel tumah. Even if it's hanging on the neck of the camel, it would still be mekabel tumah. But obviously, you understand that's just an expression. No one's hanging. Bless you. No one's hanging their oven on the neck of the camel. It's just an expression, just to highlight the idea that it need not be attached to the ground. Maskef l'Ravashi. So Ravashi said like this. So we'll say now. Remember how we got into this whole mess over here. That Rava wanted to suggest that the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because remember the Brisa spoke about shivrei tanur yashan. The shards of an old oven. So Rava wanted to suggest, so again, according to Abaye wanted to suggest the machlokis of Meir Rabbi Yehuda is the old machlokis about do shards need to be able to perform the same service of the kli they were a part of in order not to be mukta, or is it enough that they could serve in any capacity? Rabbi Meir says it's enough if they could serve in any functional capacity. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they have to be able to serve ne'im malachton, what they did when they were part of the Kli. Rava says, no, if that's the case, then let the machlokas be. Why do they have to argue about pieces of an old oven? Let them argue about shards of a Kli. Rather, mostly they were arguing about this type of oven that we just decided before. So the Gemara says, let's go back. The Gemara therefore says, maskef l'ravashi, ihachi ad mifligi b'shivrei tanor, liflagu b'tanor gufa. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, then halacha l'maisa, the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda didn't have to be with the shards of an oven. It actually could have been with the oven itself. So the Gemara says, hashta tanor gufa l'Rabbi Yehuda lo havi mana, shvarav miboy. Because if according to Rabbi Yehuda, the oven itself is not going to be considered a kli when it's not attached to the ground, then all the more so what? The shards. Ela amar Ravashi li'olam kida amar ne'ikara. Therefore says Ravashi, you're right. Let's go back to what we said before. Abaye, thank you very much. Good try, but we're not accepting your understanding of the machlokas. We go back to Rava. In which case, again, now we're back to the fact that the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, is the fundamental machlokas we had before, which is how do you judge the functionality of shards for muktzah purposes? Rabbi Meir says as long as they could do anything productive, they're not muktzah, even if they cannot what? They cannot serve in the same capacity as they did before when they were part of a whole kli. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. In order for a shard not to be muktzah, it has to be able to do me'in malachton. It has to do what it did when it was part of the kli. So the Gemara says, like this. The Gemara says, "Ubaose ma'isa tafka." And the reason why they chose to argue about the shards of an oven and not just on the shards of a kli is because in this case, this is quite unique. That here the shards can be used as tiles. Now, what is tafka as tiles? Now, what does that mean? One of the ways they used to cook, which I guess we still do this today in different kinds of fashion, is if you had a shard, you would heat up the shard and cook on the shard, kind of like a griddle. Like you would be like an earthenware griddle. So meaning here's the interesting part. So on one hand, I have a broken oven. I have a shard from the oven. So now I can't use the shard as an oven, but you know, interestingly enough, I can kind of use it as a cooking utensil. How? If I heat up the shard, I can then cook on the top of the shard. So the shaila now is, Rabbi Meir Ledvarov, Rabbi Meir goes according to his reasoning, to Rabbi Yehuda Ka'amar, Lididi Afilo Os Ba'osin Ne'en Melacha. So Rabbi Yehuda says like this, Rabbi Meir Ledvarov, Rabbi Yehuda Ka'amar. Rabbi Meir now tries to make an argument that would be compelling even to Rabbi Yehuda. And what does Rabbi Meir say? Lididi, according to me, Afilo Ba'osin Ne'en Melacha. Which Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Yehuda, you know that as far as I'm concerned, I don't need the shard to actually function in the same capacity as the kli it was a part of. For me, as long as the shard is functional in some way, that's enough. However, ela lididach, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who requires that the shard operate in the same capacity as the utensil it was a part of, then what? Oduli miha, at least admit to me, that the kahai gavna melachdohu, at least admit to me that when you have a broken piece of an oven, that since you could use the shards as a tile to cook on, that's still considered to be like the same type of activity, like the same type of malacha that it was engaged in when it was part of the oven. Sidi Gemara says, good, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda will respond, sorry, no, lo dami, it's not comparable, why? Hasam has seiko mi bifnim, hacha has seiko mi bachutz. First of all, an oven is fired up from its inside, the tile is heated up, so to speak, from the outside. Number two, hasam mu'umad, the oven is used in an upright position. Haha lav mu'umad, here the tile is used in a flat position. So again, as much as Rabbi Meir seems to make a compelling argument according to Rabbi Yehuda is not convinced. Hey, Rabbi Yosi Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Shivrei Tanur Yashin Shnei Talmud B'Shabbes V'Kisuv Shnei Tzarach Beis Yad. So we'll say again, remember I mentioned to you about this idea of the, so let's just read actually. Rabbi Yossi testified in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov about shards of an oven, that they can be handled, they can be carried on Shabbos and at Motzah, and about a cover that does not require a handle. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, keman metaltal in ha'idna kisuye de tanuri de masa mechasya, in accordance with whose opinion do we presently carry the oven covers even if they don't have the Elam Beis Yad Achiza, that do not have a handle, Kiman, like who? Kerbalazer ben Yaakov. So we'll say again, we're going to get to this case explicitly in the Mishnah later on. We'll explain it then. Mishnah. Ha'even Shevi Kiruya. What's an interesting case? Kiruya is a gourd shell. So we'll say apparently what used to happen was the following. It's interesting that Kiruya, often the words, the kra, kuf resh aleph, which is often translated in the Mishnah either as gourd or as pumpkin. Gourd is pumpkin, which is interesting. So what happens is they would go ahead and they would hollow out these larger vegetables, and they would allow the, shell, to harden. Now, once you use the shell to harden, what they used it for essentially was a bucket. So specifically, you would draw water with it. So here's what's interesting. So of course, the Gemara's problem, of course, is with these kind of buckets is what? Is that they would float. Well, a floating bucket is going to be a little bit of a difficulty if you're trying to draw water. So what they would often do is they would put a heavy stone into it that would cause it to sink. So the Gemara says, like the Mishnah says, Ha'even shebi kiruya. If you had a stone that was inside the gourd shell, im memalin ba ve'ena nofeles. If when you fill up the bucket with water, the stone does not fall out, then memalin ba. Then you could keep the stone in the bucket and use the stone in the bucket. Ve'im lav, and if not, in memalin ba. You cannot fill up the bucket with the stone inside of it. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ha'even shebikiruya dala'as yivesha. You have this dried out gourd. Chalula umechalin ba. Umemalin ba. Excuse me, mayin. Umitoch shikala inu shu'eles. Go to the next slash. Im memalin ba inu rafeles. Shekshuri yafa lepia kiruya shavia kli. Ve'im lav hari kishar avanim ve'im metatlin esa kiruya deshavia basis levishnos. So listen to this. Stone is mukta. A stone is mukta, right? And a stone is actually part of a more severe category of mukta than the category we've spoken about before. Because a stone is what's called mukta machmas kufo. A stone has absolutely no purpose on Shabbos. No purpose on Shabbos. Yeah, the paperweight doesn't work over here. Because, I'm sorry? Throat card. So if you prepare that before Shabbos to throw, so again, if you have a special Chil Shabbos stone, look, someone's going to come up with it. They came up with the tefillin sweater and the Shabbos lamp. So that is going to be the next, that's going to be the next big thing. I'm sorry. Oh, so it's interesting. What about breaking nuts? So the answer seems to be that since, again, that is not the way people use stones. It's not used in that capacity, which will also answer the paperweight idea, that in order to be a kli shemalach dol isra, which means an object that has a primary prohibited purpose and a secondary permitted purpose, the secondary permitted purpose has to be a realistic use. And it doesn't have to be, let's say, a daily use, but it has to be concerning somewhat of a common use. Since people, at least times of the Gemara, were not commonly picking up a stone to smash their nuts, therefore, by definition, that's not called a clue. So therefore, it's muktamach maskufo. Muktamach maskufo, you can't move. You can't move. You just can't do any. I mean, of course, if you're stuck, there are leniencies with asking a non-Jew to take care of it for you, but it doesn't have the same dispensations of Sorech Gufo Umokomo, like we spoke about the Klisha Malach Dola Isser. Therefore, the Gemara says something very interesting. So now I have this bucket. The bucket has the stone attached to it, or stone in it. So the Shaila now is, can I move the bucket on Shabbos? Because remember what we spoke about before, an object that supports Muktzah is called the basis. It's called the base to Muktzah. A base to Muktzah becomes Muktzah, just like the Muktzah item itself. So now the question is, can I go ahead and use the bucket on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, it depends. If the stone is fastened to the bucket, then what? Then it becomes part of the bucket. If once it becomes part of the bucket, then by definition, the whole thing is not Muktzah. However, again, if the stone is not, but let's say the stone is just sitting in there, but the stone is not fastened to the bucket, to the point that, remember, if I fill up the bucket, the stone would fall out, then the stone is not part of the bucket, and therefore, again, of course, the stone is Muktzah, but again, the bucket is also Muktzah because it becomes a basis. So, Amud Beis. Zemura shehi kshura b'tafiyach. Similarly, if you have Zemura is a vine, A vine, Rashi points out, is a grapevine. Shikshura b'tafiyach. Tafiyach is our pitcher. A pitcher also like a bucket. So you have a vine that is attached to a pitcher. And again, remember, we'll say, the chaput, the vine, is what that you would use it. That's your robe. the tirof that you're lowering the pitcher into the water. So the halacha is memalin ba b'Shabbos. You can go ahead and use it on Shabbos. Again, we'll discuss exactly what the chiddush is over here. But Rashi points out memalin ba d'shavi akli lahach zmura, because now essentially the vine is no longer viewed as a vine. What is it viewed as? It's viewed as a rope. So therefore, it's not mukta. We'll discuss why you would have thought that the vine would be mukta. Okay, weiter. Pekak ha-cholom. So also, it's an interesting case as well. Pekak ha-cholom. Pekak normally is translated as, today, in modern Hebrew, it's a traffic jam. Right? The reason, you understand where that word came from, pekak means a shutter. A shutter. It would be something that would close up the window. So it's a traffic jam. Right? Everything is closed up. Everything is locked up. So pekak ha-cholom. So also, what they used to have is like this. They had shutters. Now, again, shutters we actually saw this earlier, by the way, because merchants often had shutters in front of their places of business. But the shutters themselves were actually taken down off the windows when the store was open, and they were used as the table to display the wares. So here, this lockdown is talking about a business, it's talking about a home. So if you have a pekak ha-cholom, you have a shutter for a window. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bizman shuhu kashur v'talui pokikin bo. When the shutter is tied to the house, tied to the window, v'talui, and when the shutter is not in the window, it doesn't lay on the ground, rather it's suspended, it hangs, then halacha lemaisa, you are permitted to shutter up the window on Shabbos. Shutter up the window on Shabbos. Okay. However, the imlav, but if not, in pokikin bo, then you may not shutter the window on Shabbos. Why? So essentially what Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, because if the shutter, even if the shutter is tied to the house, but it's resting on the ground, it looks like you are mosif ala binyon. When you put that back into the window, it looks like you are engaging in an act of building. The chum say, benkachu benkach pokikin bo. The chum say, no, either way, whether, again, well, we'll see what either way means, but either way, you are permitted to reshutter the window on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. Evan Sha'al Piachav, this interesting case, if you have a stone that is resting on top of a barrel. Stone that is resting on top of a barrel. Look at Rashi. Ha'evan Sha'al Piachav is, v'hutzrach litol min ayayin shebesocha. So here's the problem. Right? I've got my brand new, barrel of Malaga, and I need a little bit, again, for my Shabbos meal. There's a stone sitting on top of, that was a joke, by the way. Make the coffee.
Malaga.
Sorry. Right, thank you. Okay, so tough craft. Okay, so now the stone is sitting on top of my barrel. Right? And now what happens? I need to get to my wine. The problem, of course, is the stone is muksa. The stone is muksa. So what do? So the Gemara says, Maka al tzida vihino feles. I could tilt the barrel, and the stone will fall off the barrel. So I can't move the stone directly, but we could do what's called, essentially, tilt lumen atzad. Indirect movement of muktzah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi qualifies this and he says, one second. Lo shano ela bishocheach. That's only true if what? If you forgot the stone there. Right? So I didn't intentionally place it there. I forgot the stone there. However, aval b'maniach, but if I intentionally place the stone there, na'ase basis ledavar ha'osar, then ultimately their barrel becomes a basis. And what? I can't even go ahead and tilt the barrel. So essentially what Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here is, the only time you can tilt the barrel is when the barrel is not a basis. The only time the barrel is not a basis is when the mukta object was not placed there intentionally. But if it was placed there intentionally, it's a basis, and if I can't even tilt the barrel. For Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shano Ela, Bishoche. Sorry, did I just read that? Yeah. Aval Maniach Nase Bas Davar Asar. For Rav Yosef, Amr Reb Asi, Amr Reb Yochanan, but Reb Yosef, who says the name of Asi, the name of Reb Yochanan, so we'll say, we see over here that there are going to be two different versions of Reb Yochanan. So according to this second version of Reb Yochanan, Lo Shanu Ela Bishocheach. That's only true if I forget when can't I tilt? Lo Shanu Ela Bishocheach. Aval B'maniach Na'ase Kisui L'Hachavis. So we'll say, listen to this. In the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, so when do we say that the only way I could remove the stone is by tilting it? That's when I forgot it there. So if I forgot it there, I can't handle the stone directly. I can tilt it off. But if I purposely place the stone there as what? As a cover. Now both say, what does that mean? So that could either mean, well, if it's a large stone, it could literally be the cover, or perhaps it's there to keep the cover on. Right? See, if I intentionally place it there to keep the cover on, then what the second version is suggesting is it's really no longer a stone. What is it? It's a barrel cover. And if it's a barrel cover, then what? Then by definition, it's not mukta. So I don't have to tilt the barrel. I can just simply what? Take the stone off the top. So also here we have this fundamental machlokas. In the first version of Rabbi Yochanan, in order to tilt it, it has to be a cake. If you intentionally placed it there, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're out of luck. First version of Rabbi Yochanan, why? Because the whole thing is a buses. According to the second version of Rabbi Yochanan, if you intentionally placed it there, you can actually handle it directly because it's considered to be an actual cover of the barrel. I'm sorry? Oh, good. We're going to see that. Amar Rabba, very good, very good. Here the Gemara says, Rabba says, one second, Mosvinan Ashmaitin. But then we could raise a contradiction from our Mishnah. What does the Mishnah say? Ha'evin Shebikiruya, if the stone is inside the gourd shell, Im Mimalin Ba, if you could fill up the gourd shell, Ve'en Ano Feles, and the rock doesn't fall out, Mimalin Ba, then you could use the bucket. Velo, so the Gemara says, look at Rashi for just a moment, Rabosai. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Memalinbo. First of all, I'm sorry, Ashmaitin. Al Shmua Shali Shamarti Omaniach Ena Eben Nasekli. Memalinbo. Alma Eben Nasekli. So Rabosai, what do you see from the Mishnah? You see from the Mishnah that in Achinami, when you intentionally place a stone somewhere, right, as long as, again, you affix it, again, in the case of the barrel, you don't really have to affix it because its gravity does the necessary work. But over here, the point over here is that when you affix the stone into the shell of the bat, into the gourd shell, then halacha lemaisa, the stone becomes a kli. So you see from here that in achinami, that intentional placement of the stone has the ability to render the stone a kli. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Velohi, hasam kevan dahatka shavya dofem. So the Gemara says, you can't bring a raya from the Mishnah. Why? Because the Mishnah is different. What's happening in the Mishnah Rabosai? You are fastening the stone to the gourd shell. Or in other words, what is that another way of saying? You've done a maisa. You haven't just simply placed the stone somewhere, but you've done an action. You've done something concrete to show that this stone is now part of the kli. Amar Rav Yosef, umas umos vinan ashmaitin. But once again, we can go ahead and ask from the Mishnah, Imlav, if you don't fasten the rock to the stone to the gourd shell, aim mimalinba, you may not go ahead and fill it up with water. So the Gemara says, Velohi, but you can't bring a raya from there. Hasam, in that case, kevan delo hatka batule batla. If you did not go ahead and fasten it to the shell, then what? Batule batla. Look at Rashi, Velohi. For a look at the previous Rashi, ve'imlav ein memalin, ve'lo amrina na'asekli b'hanocha ba'alma. We see from the Mishnah that just simply placing the stone inside the gourd shell does not make it into utensil. The kasha l'didi, da amr le'el b'maneach na'asek kisui l'chavis. And this contradicts what the second Rabbi Yochanan wanted to say, that by simply placing the stone on top of the barrel makes it into a kli. Ve'lo, he says Rashi, lo kasha, da hasam hoil u'b'lo kshira, lo chazye l'malos da hanafla, the high lav hadaka batuli batla mitoras kli goli daiti de lo chashivle aval kisui chavis hanacha mashal kli. So what's that? The Gemara says it's apples and oranges. In the case of the bucket, you have to tie the stone down. Why? Because if you don't tie the stone down, what's going to happen? It falls out. So by definition, if you don't tie, I'm sorry. No, because it could, right? Because the barrel moves. The barrel moves, so the stone could roll out. Lav dafka, the stone's not going to float out, but the stone could roll out. So the idea of Osei is like this. When it comes to the bucket, if you don't tie down the stone, then it's clear that what? That you're not making the stone part of the bucket. And therefore, by definition, so we're going to see, that's exactly what we're going to get into now. Like, we're on a roll today. Right? Good. That's exactly what we're going to get to. Intention is what it's going to come down to. So in the case of the bucket, then halacha l'maaseh, if you don't tie down the stone, batulei batla means it's clear that you're not making the stone part of the bucket. It's just the stone. However, in the case of the barrel, you don't need to tie it down. In the case of, like we just said before, gravity does its work. In the case of the barrel, there's no need for me to tie it down. Simply placing on it should be enough. So we'll see, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, "B'maykam ifliki." So what is the fundamental machlokes? Mar sovar ba'inon maisa, umar sovar lo ba'inon maisa. So we'll say, the question is, okay, not just simple intent, but do you need a maisa in order to take something that would normally be mukta and render it non-muktzah. So, for example, now based on what we learned in the Mishnah, the answer to that would seem to be a resounding yes, right? Because halacha lemaisa, what we're saying is, in order for you to use the gourd bucket with the stone inside, you have to tie the stone in. If you don't tie the stone in, the stone is muktzah. But yet, again, in the case of the barrel, everybody would seem to agree that just simple placement would be enough. So the fundamental shaila seems to be, do you need a maisa in order to render a normally muktzah item for a non-mukta usage on Shabbos, or is das, is intent enough? So the Gemara says the following. Mar savar bagin on maisa, umar savar lo bagin on maisa. One opinion says that you need a maisa. One opinion says you don't need a maisa. V'azla tamayon, they each both go according to their reasoning. Why? Listen to this. Dichi asa ravdimi, amar, dichi asa ravdimi, dichi asa ravdimi, amar rabbi chanina, v'amili amar rabbi zira, amar rabbi chanina, pam achas halach rabbi lamakum echad. One time Rabbi went to a particular place, Umata nidbach shel avanim, and he found nidbach shel avanim literally is like a quarry of stones. He found the quarry of stones. But Amar l'talmidim, and he said to his students, "Tzu v'choshvu kedei sheneishev alehen lamachar." Go out now. V'choshvu, choshvu is very interesting. What does choshvu mean? Choshvu means think about these stones, because we're going to sit here tomorrow. So apparently what ended up happening is that Rebbe saw this place that would be good to give the shir. It was a quarry of stones. Stones are normally mukta. So he says to his talmidim, go out the chishvu. Go out and think about that chairs, you know, harini mukhan amazuman, you're not a stone, you're a chair. So shayla is, what does that mean, chishvu? So the Gemara says, Kedesha, v'lo hitzrichon, Rebbe lemaisa. So what do you see from this episode of Ozai? That Rebbe did not require a maisa. All Rebbe required was what? Was a machshava. All it required was a thought to transform it from stones into chairs. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you got the story wrong. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, hitzrichon, Rebbe lemaisa. No, in fact, that's in that story, Rebbe did require a maisa. Nay, so what was the maisa? Amar luhu Rabbi Ami, my Amar Lahu. So therefore, if you're telling me that when Rebbe said to his students, go out and think about it, he wasn't telling them to just go ahead and mentally designate, but he was telling them to do something, what did he tell them to do? Rabbi Ami says, Tzu'u v'limdum, go out and limdum. Limdum means position them. Position them, meaning go out and arrange the stones. By arranging the stones, whatever it is, by arranging the stones in a circle or in the rows, where he was doing a maisa, which was showing that he was actively designating those stones as chairs. Amar luhu Rabbi Asi, excuse me, tzu'u v'limdum amar luhu. Rabbi Asi amar, tzu'u v'shifshifum. Rabbi Asi says he told him to go out and clean the stones. And he will say, so again, it doesn't really matter. The point is, according to this version, tzu'u v'chishu doesn't just mean go ahead and think about it, it means do something. So amar luhu, itmar, Rabbi Yossi ben Shul amar, suar shel koros ava. So Rabbi Yossi ben Shul says there was a suar shel koros. Suar shel koros, I will say, we'll see, is a stack of beams. A stack of beams. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shul amar, gishosh shel svina ava. Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul says it. No, so we'll say these are just different machloksim as to what the case with Rebbe was. Was it stones? Was it a stack of beams? Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul says it was a gishosh. A gishosh, interestingly enough, is a pole that's used. And there must be a technical name for it. But often, when boats would travel, they would have these long poles that were there to measure the depth of the water to make sure that the boat could still travel in this area. So apparently, again, that's large enough also that you could arrange it for sitting on. So the Gemara says, "Man do amr gishosh." The man who says that the story was with the gishosh, this pole, all the more so would agree that you could do this with beams of wood. The man who said that it deals with the suar, he would say aval gishosh kapir ale. When it comes to the beams, you would allow it, right? But the gishosh, this pole, a person would be makpara. So we'll say what comes out from this. We'll step over here. What comes out from this gemara, and we're not finished with this sug yet. Oh, we still have what to do with it. Is that halacha lemaisa? There is a fundamental machlokes as to when you're going to go ahead and take a mukta item and you want to now use it for a non-mukta permitted use. Halacha lemaisa, do you need a maisa? Do you need an action to redesignate it, or is machshava enough? To be continued tomorrow.
What are you talking about?